You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Pac-12. There's no better place to get all your Pac-12 conference news than the Locked On Pac-12 podcast, hosted by me, Cindy Robinson. Follow the Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We are tapping back into Pac-12 media today with a focus on Stanford. Brian Brown from Locked On Utes is my co-host for the day. Brian, how's it going?
No better way to start a Monday than hanging out with you and talking about one of my favorite programs, not named Utah, in the Pac-12. I'm not going to lie. I get all sorts of geeked out when I talk about this particular school.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of fitting when you say geeked out because they are very much the epitome of student first before in the student athlete portion of that title. I definitely think we saw that too at Pac-12 Media Day, talking with Thomas Booker and Michael Wilson, both great guys, well-spoken. I've kind of gushed over them already when we first were recapping Pac-12 Media Day and just saying how well they carried themselves and just how well they spoke. But one of the first things that stood out were when they started their interviews, they were literally talking about the things they're doing in school, the internships they're a part of, that type of stuff. And I'm actually going to let the audience hear for themselves what they said.
Yeah, I think one of the most special things about Stanford is the academics never get compromised. Like, it's a truly an academic school first, right? Mm-hmm. Football truly does come second. Athletics come second. I think that's one of the most special things is education is number one. They prioritize that over everything else, right? And then you look at the people that get into Stanford. It's just all around great, intelligent, high level intellectual people that are the best in whatever they do. Like, all the other sports at Stanford win national championships year after year after year.
Olympians,
exactly. I think we had 53.
Yeah, 53
plus. Which was, I think we were second to USC with the most of colleges, but you know.
It's okay.
But yeah, I think we won the Director's Cup 25 years in a row. I think that streak was broken, unfortunately, last year. But just surrounded by, you know, spectacular people who are looking to be, you know, big time people in the world. So I'm a big believer in you are who you surround yourself with. So if you're constantly surrounded by greatness, you have no choice but to elevate yourself to become great as well.
Kind of in that same vein, a couple years ago, like JJ was working for Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah.
Have you guys had any sort of similar opportunities kind of in that same vein?
Yeah, so I'm actually doing an internship with a private equity firm called RMWC. I've been analyzing companies to decide whether or not they should purchase shares. I've been doing analysis of real estate markets and potential investment markets through a variety of metrics like population growth and a couple other things. Actually with a fellow defensive lineman, Trey LaBounty, he was grinding on me with that sort of stuff. It's an awesome place to be, Stanford, just because you have access to all these different opportunities. They really do prepare you for a lot of different real-world scenarios and professions. So, yeah, this summer has been really cool for me, a really good learning experience.
Yeah, and to piggyback off that, I did an internship for Yogi Raw, who's actually probably, he's upstairs right now interviewing people. So that's an avenue that interests me, and he's been such a great resource. I've learned so much from him, from media training to working with him on various projects, teaching me how to interview people, how to handle interviews as well. And so he's just been so special and spectacular.
Okay, so right there you hear that they have a lot on their plates, and it's great because I think one thing that always has bothered me about just the mentality of a lot of student athletes is that they don't think past the athlete part. They tend to take classes that are easy and not really something that could be pushed forward towards their future in an actual career. And it's clear these guys have the mindset of we're career minded first beyond just the football field. Brian, what are your thoughts about how Stanford operates when it comes to that?
Oh, I think it's really fascinating, and we caught a little glimpse of that in David Shaw's comments when he was on the podium at the Pac-12 Media Days, where he talked about their goal is to get these guys ready for the next step. And I think that's just saturated the program. And you can hear it in the way that they all talk. There's that clip about, I believe it was Michael Wilson talking about his internship with Yogi Roth. And just the way that the Pac-12 network sets up for a lot of these guys and the NIL conversation to really grow their brand. I think with the way that college football is evolving right now, and we're recording this after the news about Quinn Ewers is broken and the fact that he's going to forego his senior year of high school to go to Ohio State early, I think that appeal is going to have a lot of draw to Stanford. But the other part of it, too, is Stanford can afford to be selective. In fact, they have to be selective. I think that's very evident when you hear these guys. They have a different kind of, I want to say je ne sais quoi, but that's probably the wrong terminology for it. But I think
a different
they have
air. A different
They, attitude, like the way that they talk, the way they converse, the types of things that are interesting to them. And I think they have a really strong just presence and the way that they kind of have everything already planned out, and it's a lot of that is just due to what life is like living in Palo Alto, I'm sure.
Yeah, and on top of that, I feel like it carries onto the football field. One big part of the whole interview, I mean, like that whole interview portion on Pac-12 Media Day, was a question being asked to them about David Shaw saying they play with Is it intelligent brutality? And the question, the person who was asking the question went as far as to title them brilliant barbarians. And so the reaction to all of that and the explanation of it, I felt like was a great description of what you get when you're talking about Stanford players. So we're actually gonna let you hear it now.
Coach Shaw said he coined a phrase that you guys play with intellectual brutality. What does it mean to be a brilliant barbarian?
Yeah, I like that. I haven't heard that one before. I kind of like it. I might need to put it on a shirt. I think to me, it's kind of what I was talking about with being able to dissect things in a conceptual way. You know, when you're like halftime and you want to make adjustments. You know, I think that's the part of it that's the brilliant or the intellectual part. And the brutal part is what Mike was talking about with our whole line. You know,
Richard Sherman is the brutal part.
Yes,
right. Playing with that dog. And
yeah.
But off the field, he's one of the smartest guys you ever talked to.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a valedictorian in high school.
Yep.
Right? So he's one of those guys that intellectual, very intellectual, and then brutality, very brutal on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think our front seven on defense and our offensive line kind of talk about it too, is like that mean, nasty streak and being able to flip the switch from, yeah, I can talk to you, I can talk elegant about whatever, to, yeah, I'm going to put you in the dirt. Yeah. So being able to flip that switch.
First, let me say, brilliant barbarians on a shirt would be actually amazing, and I will definitely buy one and rock it. That I love the way that sounds. Granted, I know, you know, we try to stay away from titles like beast and barbarians when we're talking about African-American athletes, just because of the climate we're in, but I like the play on words. I like for what it's meant in this situation, which is a great description of how they play. They're very smart. They think first, and then the action comes with it. You can't, you know, look past the fact that these are some very athletic, aggressive players.
I think we all love football, and part of the nature of football is that it is a brutal sport. This is literally a car crash happening every single play. And while that's a conflicting thing, right, because there's so much outside the world where that's just not acceptable. You know, you can't just go up to a coworker and headbutt him one day in the office. That's little sketchy, but you know, here in the football arena, it's totally acceptable. And I think, you know, Stanford has built this brand of building brilliant barbarians, meaning guys that can go out and destroy things, but are also super functional and built for society. You know, I remember that Shane Scove era at Stanford when he was a linebacker there, and they'd show up with their nerd glasses for the press conferences afterwards, and they really embraced this ethos and this mantra of, you know, intelligent, brutal intelligence or barbarian type things, but with smarts. And I think everything that they do, from schematics, from how they play games, you know, it's all very intelligent. It's all very well thought out. And I think David Shaw, his demeanor, how calm and cool and even keeled he is, he's very calculated as well. And that saturates through their program. And I think it's really what, You know, we talk about Stanford maybe being up and down over the years, but it feels like this might be a year where they're going to about climb back up, as they seem to be in the mindset of, and I think they've really cultivated that era of success because of that, you know, identification, that branding.
Yeah, completely. I completely agree with you, though. Coming up next, we will discuss more about David Shaw and the actual improvements that Stanford has seen, you know, well, we'll say that Thomas Booker and Michael Wilson have seen within their own team. But before we get into that, I have to let you know about Built Bar in case you haven't listened to me talk about it a million and one times. Here's a million and two. If you're looking for the best tasting protein bar out there, Built Bar is the one for you. Built Bar comes in 9 delicious flavors, a little something for everybody, from coconut to coconut almond. If you're more into the fruity flavors, they have cherry and raspberry. And then obviously for our chocolate lovers, they have mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. Literally something for everyone. I'm more of a salted caramel type. The best part about Built Bar is that it's healthy. That's right, tasty and healthy. Each bar has about 17 to 18 grams of protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in carbs. That's 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. We're talking Stanford Pac-12 Media Day. Thomas Booker and Michael Wilson were the two athletes representing Stanford at Pac-12 Media Day. Two great guys. But, you know, although they were the ones there talking and representing Stanford, I think that Brian was more excited to hear David Shaw talk, and even some of the other reporters were more interested in talking to the players about David Shaw and his demeanor than actual football.
Yeah. And, you know, as someone who played on the offensive line and kind of had to embrace that brutal, brilliant barbarian type of mantra, like, David Shaw really resonates with me. He's very intelligent. He's well-spoken. He's well-versed in a variety of topics. I'm sure some of that comes with living in Palo Alto and being outside of just the entire football bubble, because I think you get some of these college coaches where their lives is what they do 24/7 on the football field. And David Shaw is not that. Like, he is very interested in other things. And I think he's very much a thoughtful, unique voice in the college football landscape. You don't really hear people talk the way that he does, but along those same lines, like, you hear a lot of coaches in the Pac-12 conference really talk like that, as if there's other things beyond football. Like, you would never hear David Shaw say the things that he does in the SEC, right? Like that would get him run out of that conference so quickly, because he talks about things like preparing kids for the future and you know, being so even keeled, you know, and they mentioned that at one point during the interview that Shaw is so measured and tempered, and how he really communicates his message is by the words he uses and not the variations in his level and his attitude and his anger, I guess is a good way to put it. You know, like, I can't see Dabo Swinney using different words to get his message across, right? That's a dude that's all about that juice, you know, BYOG. But Shaw is thoughtful and intelligent, and I think he communicates with his guys on that level, and it's why they attract the kind of players that they attract to that program.
Coach Shaw is one of the best people head coaches you'll ever meet, mm-hmm. right? He's none of that Carl salesman selling you false dreams and all that. He's going to shoot you straight. Yeah. He's authentic, and he never deviates from, like, his core values and whatnot. So if I've learned the most from him, it's just how to be a good man, mm-hmm. right? Hold myself with humility, but also have a lot of confidence at the same time, and don't deviate and change myself for the media and whatnot.
Exactly. Yeah. I think, like, the big thing, like Mike was talking about, he's not like a car salesman or anything like that. You know, when you're getting recruited here, like, you're being sold by, like, authenticity,
right.
and not by, like, extra stuff or gimmicks or whatever, you know, because mm-hmm. kind of a lot of that is in the recruiting scene. It's about, like, blowing up your ego or anything like that. And Stanford does a really good job of, like, relying on the fact that, yeah, we have a lot of good things going on here, so we don't need to back talk anybody else. We're just going to show you what we have, and I'm going to let you make your own decision, because we know that you're smart enough, you know, to make your own judgment without us having to talk down on anybody else.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
feel like that comes from him being an alum, like having been kind of through that experience that you guys are going through now?
I think so. Yeah, because I think he understands what the culture is. Obviously, he was here a little while before we were. But I think he carries along kind of that entire Stanford ethos of, you know, we know exactly what we're about. We don't feel like we need to sell to anybody. You know, the work, the proof is in kind of like the work in the pudding, kind of, you know. So I don't think that he feels a need to do anything extra because he knows that the work has already been put in.
I feel like it's clear how the players talk about David Shaw, that he's a player's coach, which, you know, a lot of people define that in different ways, like how a player can identify with how a coach can identify with the player and, you know, connect with them. And I think for him, it's still a parental figure in a sense, but a parental figure that's going to respect you as a man as well. And I feel like that's the vibe that I get from the way he's described, the way we've just seen him interact with his players over the years. On top of that, though, like, it is a huge reason why we see so much success from Stanford. Like you said, they're really growing as men there, not just on the football field, but overall as people, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's a very important aspect of it, because these are guys that have really extensive plans. They're not going to Stanford to just play football. If you want to do that, there are plenty of schools out there. Like, I'm not going to denigrate anybody in our conference, because that's just going to get me too much haterade, and I already drink enough as it is. But go play at some place like Florida or, you know, somewhere, yeah, you know, somewhere where it's all about football and that's the only thing. Stanford is about producing these high caliber, high quality men and people, and the entire campus, the environment around it. Like, you can see and hear it in the way that these guys talk about it, that they really are diverse and they have plans and that they're marching towards these plans, and they're using Stanford football as that vehicle to go on, because football ends for everybody and you have to have a next step. Otherwise, you're going to end up like me, where you don't know what to do when you're done with football and you're out there for the next 5-10 years looking for whatever that is. But they are just so organized, and you can tell that it's a big part of the program that these guys have a future mapped out and are angling towards that even after football.
But that does not mean that football is not important to them and that they're not putting it all on the field. We did get to football talk eventually. And when it came to that, they were just as passionate about football and the things that they have seen from their team as far as the growth and improvement from last season to this season and through the off season, like all the things that they've worked on. Both Thomas Booker and Michael Wilson touched on the improvements they've seen on their defensive side and offensive side and what we can expect from Stanford going into the season.
I can speak for the defense. I think the defense is playing more aggressively and more downhill than they ever have in terms of creating negative plays and generating plays that stop offenses and stop their drives in the tracks. I think we've been doing a better job of that. Our linebackers are coming downhill at 100 miles per hour all the time.
Yeah.
So it's helping guys like me get off blocks. People can't double team me as long. You know, you have to pick your poison a little bit. You know, do you want to stay on me and let Jacob Mangum-Ferrar or Ricky Miazon come through the hole and blast your running back? Or do you want to come off on them and let me make a TFL? You know, so I think that's, for the defense at least, what I'd say is our greatest strength.
Yeah, and for the offense, I think one of the things I'm most excited about this year is our offensive line, right? Mm-hmm. Miles Hinton, Walter Rouse, yeah. Branson Bragg, Drake Nugent. Just getting back to the old ways of Stanford football, hard nose, smash mouth, you know, offensive linemen that just want to take your head off. Right, yeah. The nicest guys off the field, but when that whistle blows, just mean guys,
yeah.
Right? And then you look at the outside. We got a lot of guys on the outside. Myself, Bryson Tremaine, Elijah Higgins, Colby Bowman, Silas Starr, John Humphreys, Bryce Farrell. And then you go in the backfield. I think we have one of the most talented back room in the most depth, mm-hmm. in the conference by far. Yeah. Austin Jones, Nate Pete, EJ Smith, Casey. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then obviously we have a tight battle between the quarterbacks this year. But whoever gets that job is gonna hold that job with poise and do a really good job for us. And just speaking for the team in general, we have a really we've had a really really good offseason. The guys that are hungry to prove. that Stanford football is going to return itself as being one of the dominant teams in the Pac-12. Just a lot of young guys who haven't played, right? But we have a lot of guys that are hungry to show, right? A lot of hunger, and that's the biggest thing this offseason is we've just been preaching, just being hungry, right? Being dogs, being having that pit bull mentality that we're coming here to take guys' heads off.
You can hear from that snippet there that this is a team that really has some confidence in themselves because of the improvement that they've made. And we heard David Shaw talk about it on the podium as well, that they were excited to get back to being a defensively powerful football team. And look, this is mutually beneficial for everybody, right? Because you can hear the defensive guys talking about how the improvement on offense is helping them improve in a very much an iron sharpens iron kind of way. But also, I think there's a lot of dudes on this offense and defense that are standout players. And it's been a while since we've had some guys at Stanford that were really branded, right? You know, like Andrew Luck was such a huge household name. I think Simi Fehoko was a good player. Unfortunately, he didn't get a lot of shine because it was such a weird season last year, and there just wasn't a lot of attention place on him. You know, we've seen tight ends at Stanford in the past have really strong seasons. They have great offensive linemen, as we heard in that clip. And so if that's how they're talking about this team and they're so confident in their grit and their ability to overcome adversity, I think that's a really strong statement to where this program is headed and what they could potentially accomplish come this fall.
I agree with you, and I'm excited to see if they're better than what they've been projected and expected. One thing I do love is that most of these teams, whether they were at the top of the projections or the bottom of them, made it a point to say, like, they're not paying attention to that as much as, say, we are, you know, as the media and the outside people. They're more concerned with playing their game the way they know they can and going out there and winning, whether or not they're slotted as the favorite or not, you know? So for those of you who may be interested in, you know, putting their money where their mouth is this season, betonline.ag is the perfect place to do that.
If you're looking to get in on some betting action, betonline.ag is the place for you. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
Okay, actually talking Stanford football, the football side of things from Pac-12 Media Day, Thomas Booker and Michael Wilson were there as the representatives for Stanford. And something that Thomas touched on that really stood out to me was actually how the offensive line is helping the defensive line improve, but then also how like young that offensive line was and how Thomas was trying to groom them and, you know, prepare them for when he's gone. Cause he's a senior this year, he said, and, you know, he's trying to make sure that they're ready for the seasons to come.
So at first it was a lot of young guys, cause obviously I'm going to be a senior now. And Miles is going to be a sophomore. Walter is going to be a junior. And I was trying to beat up on them when they were young, so they get kind of accustomed to it. And I think they've definitely grown strength-wise, football skill-wise, and all that. And they can all hold their own, and they're all super physical. You know, Miles is extremely quick, especially for his size. So for me, like, he gives me fits, you know, because he's such a quick, agile, athletic dude at like 320-plus pounds, you know. And I'm hoping that I'm giving them the exact same look, you know, so that when they go to play a game in the Pac-12, they're looking at somebody where they're like, all right, I've been against somebody that's tougher during the week. You know, that's the big thing for our team is like, you want the Saturday matchup to be the easier thing that you've done that week. You know, so that's what I'm trying to do, and that's what they're trying to do for me.
they're losing a good one in Walker Little. He's going to the NFL, going to play for the Jacksonville Jaguars there. He was the anchor of that unit. And really, it was great to have that experience there at the left tackle position to help out all those young guys. But they've had an opportunity to play a lot of guys across that line, and they're going to have to step up right from the get-go. As we've heard these guys talk about it, this is a group that's going to help them anchor their program moving forward, and they have to be on top of the ball in terms of getting a quick start with this season and the schedule that they have. I think that's a huge part for Stanford is getting out of the gate early and really accomplishing some things. And the offensive line is going to be a key component because that's really what their program has been built around for a long time.
Right. Speaking of that schedule, they are very aware that they have a tough schedule. Last year, they dealt with a lot of adversity when it came to the COVID situation, then not being able to actually stay in the Bay Area because of, you know, the mandates that were going on with COVID protocols and things and not being able to actually practice. I think we had air quality issues at one point because we were having so many fires. I live in the Bay. There was literally a day when you step outside and it was completely orange outside. Orange, not, you know, like just gloomy or like foggy. It was completely orange and a bunch of ashes were falling down. So again, Stanford and Cal were two teams that had a lot to deal with beyond just the COVID situation. And they were able to, you know, grow out of it, which I think has helped them, at least in preparing for this hard schedule. They don't have like anything where they feel like they can't overcome it. And they actually talked about it too at Pac-12 Media Day.
I mean, we're one of the only teams, I think the only team in the Pac-12 that's got all Power Five opponents. So obviously our schedule, like a degree of difficulty is up. That Kansas State game that we're starting off with, I'm really excited about, yeah. You know, especially being a Cowboys stadium. Yeah. Maybe we'll get to see some of you or something like that. Yeah. Bring him as an honorary captain. But yeah, no, we have a very, very tough schedule, but at the same point, like every single year we're playing against really good teams. So, yeah. You know, it's a way to test ourselves.
Yeah. They start off the year with a tough one in Kansas State, USC, second game of the season. This is not going to be a super easy schedule for Stanford. But I think you hear it in their voice in the comments that this is a team that's very confident in them, their abilities to overcome tough scheduling procedures because they've been through it. And that's very much in line with David Shaw. I think you were to ask him, and I've heard him speak at times with Yogi Roth about the importance of a growth mindset, being able to overcome and use adversity to your advantage. That's what this team is all about. And that's how they're approaching everything that they went through last year and how they're approaching their work this fall. And so I think it's going to be a huge advantage. You've got a couple tough games there in the beginning, again, with USC, second game of the season, and you've got UCLA, Oregon, Arizona State. You know, I don't know how good Vanderbilt's going to be between USC and UCLA, but that's kind of a bumpy stretch there because you're at USC, at Vanderbilt, then UCLA, Oregon at home, at Arizona State, at Washington State, then home for Washington, home for Utah, at Oregon State. So the two games or 2 weeks in a row being home will feel very familiar for them. But at the same time, when they go on the road, I don't think this is a team that you really have to worry about adapting because they've already done that in a massive way last year.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. Like, you know, sometimes the struggle looks tough while you're going through it, but later on, it's just making you tougher and stronger. And at this point, anything thrown their way is just, you know, one of those things like a hurdle. They're ready to hurdle over it and it's not going to be an issue as far as keeping them held back for the season or like, you know, really, I want to say really being a problem. Like, you know, it's one of those, they're ready to face their problems head on because they have dealt with so much. But yeah, I'm super excited. I feel like talking to the players at Pac-12 Media Day has made me even more excited to see the season unfold. It's making it more real. Like someone had, one of the reporters had asked, it is making it more real seeing people in person and knowing that, like, you know, we're really about to undergo a full season possibly.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. We're hoping for nothing but positivity over here. Okay. Okay. Nothing but positivity. For those of you into betting, you know, betting on the Pac-12 or college football or even the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. You can get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. So follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. As always, you can check out Locked On Pac-12 and Locked On Utes on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And then follow along on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12_CindyRobinson and @BrownBearSLC. We're always talking nonsense or not talking nonsense. I don't know. You know, whatever. You just never know what you're going to catch. Check it out and make sure you stay locked on the Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.